just before we get to the actual supporting missionaries, I read this, I don't recall where, but popcorn is prepared in the same pot, the same heat, the same oil, and yet the kernels do not pop all at the same time. So don't compare your child to others. Their turn to pop is coming.
Amen.
That's an important thing to think, whether it's other children within your family or just other children you observe. And definitely, not only in your own heart and mind, don't think that. Definitely don't say it to a child. There isn't anything more devastating than to say to a child, why can't you be like?
That's right.
And then point out another kid.
Yes, sir.
And then the parent wonders, well, why is my kid always picking on that one? Why is my child always being unkind to that one? Yeah, might be part of it, huh? Well, that's just a little extra. Now we're going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 13, would you please? Book of Acts, chapter 13. While you're finding it, I'm going to read down the various ways of support that we've already looked at. Prayer support, sacrificial support, survey trip support, comforting, travel, hospitality, visit the field, relief ministry, intercessory prayer, and recognition support. Those are all different ways that a church, an individual, can be involved. I remember the years that I still would desire to have more financial ability to give to missions, okay? But I remember the time when I felt deficient because I couldn't do more financially. And then I recall hearing this message. Now, I told you last week it was given in 1997 by a John O'Malley at a Good Shepherd Baptist Missions Missionary Training School. Brother O'Malley is now the director of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions. And he gave this particular information at that meeting. And now we're going to look in Acts chapter 13 at verse 52. Acts 13 and verse 52. And it's refreshing support. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And even more specific is 2 Timothy. Keep your place in Acts. We'll be back. 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 16, we're looking at refreshing support. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He often refreshed me. And we can give refreshing support. There's different ways that can be done. Here again, remember last week I spent a lot of time promoting the prayer letters and reading them. It's as you would read them and you realize that that missionary likes jelly beans, okay? You realize that just, you know, something incidentally said in a prayer letter likes jelly beans. So you'll buy a dollar's worth of jelly beans, and depending on where they're at, you might spend $10 to ship that dollar's worth of jelly beans. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, that doesn't make sense. No, not financially. But to somebody who lives in a country where they can't get jelly beans,
yeah, exactly right, Pastor.
It's going to refresh them,
yeah.
okay? Now, you can communicate with that missionary and find out. You mentioned you like jelly beans. Can you buy jelly beans where you live? And, you know, they answer. They say, yes, but they're very expensive. Oh, I see. Well, I just want you to know, assuming you're doing this by email, okay? I just want you to know that I'm going to, according to what they tell you, they're $10 a pound. I'll stay with that figure. You can tell, look, in the email, look, I'm gonna send $10 to your account. It's going to be marked jelly beans. So you know what it's about, you know why. Okay? It's going to refresh them. Okay. Now, that doesn't sound very high and holy. Yeah, you've just never been a missionary living in a country where you can't get something you like.
That's right.
Okay? And that kind of support is good. And even our missionaries who serve here in our own country. Okay? Now, we got Brother Dale. I used him last week several times. I use him a lot, as a matter of fact. But, so he lives here with us. We see him every day. He goes shopping in the same stores we go shopping in. Yeah, but if you put, I'm going to stay with the same figure, okay? It's not a holy figure. It's just one that's in my head. If you put $10 in an envelope and a note with it that says, next time you're on the way to Rochester, stop and get yourself an extra coffee and a donut, okay? And you say, coffee and donut don't cost $10. Cheapskate you. That's going to encourage him.
That's right.
Okay? That's going to encourage him in ways you can't imagine. And so refreshing support, and that's support that we can give to missionaries. Another kind of support that's listed here, we're going to the book of, or in Acts chapter 14, and that is encircling support. Encircling support. All right, let's look at it. Acts 14. And we're going to start in verse 19. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, they thought he was dead. He apparently was just unconscious. And he woke up, sat up, whatever you want to call it. But where were they? They were standing round about him. You see? When a missionary is in a hard time, when a missionary is going through an exceptionally difficult time, he needs people to encircle him. If the missionary's in Uganda, half a dozen of us aren't going to get the next flight out of Buffalo to Uganda. I understand that. But, we can encircle. We live in a wonderful day. We live in an unbelievably good day. I know there's a lot of bad stuff in the day, but there's a lot of good stuff. One of which is internet. An email. And, sometimes, depending on what the country they're in, you can go to their website and communicate with them. You can certainly get their email address. Where do I get that? Those prayer letters. Okay? The prayer letters have their email address. if they can be communicated with. Now, depending on if they're in a restricted country, then they can't receive email there, communistic country, for example, and so that wouldn't work. But most of the missionaries, you can get their email address, and we can encircle them. You say, well, how can we do that? All right, the Lord puts it on your heart about Brother Jones, who's in Uganda. And he's going through a particularly hard time. Maybe his wife's got medical issues. Maybe he has medical issues. Maybe the people in the village that were always friendly have just become very antagonistic, whatever the issue is. And God burdens your heart for that. You could go around to 3, 4, half a dozen, whatever, of your friends or people that you believe would be interested in doing this and saying, look, remember reading so-and-so's letter? Now, when you get a blank look in the face, that lets you know they didn't read the letter, okay? Now, don't be unkind to them. Just kick them in the shins and keep moving on. No, don't be unkind to them. Just say, well, yeah, their letter, and then you tell them what it is. What I'd like to do, and you could refer to Acts 14, 19 to 20, I'd like us to circle around them. They thought Paul was dead. We know this guy's having trouble. I'd like us to circle around him. How about if, make it easy, 5 people, 1 a day, okay? And if it's your burden, then you tell John Mark, you do Monday. Stephen, you do Tuesday. Jen, we're going to have you do Wednesday. We're not including you. Chelsea, we're... You notice I passed over you? Yeah. Do you feel hurt yet?
No, sir.
Oh, well, that's good. You know, you ought to become a preacher because you seem to have a thick skin.
Huh.
And somebody with thin skin can't be a preacher.
Yeah.
So you ought to think about that. That might be God speaking to your heart. No, this is me speaking. All right, Charles. In other words, if it's your burden, then you need to assign so you don't all do it on Monday. Okay? And then all week, every day, that missionary gets an email that's encouraging them. Maybe you're giving them a Bible verse. You're telling them you're praying for them regarding such and such a situation. What have you learned regarding the cost of the land? Has anything changed? Just some way of communicating about that particular burden. I can't help but think that's got to be encouraging. Think about the last time, whether you shared the burden in church or whether you just told 2 or 3 people that you felt you could share with them the situation that you were dealing with. Let me, stay with finances and the situation that you're dealing with. And you shared it with them on a Wednesday night, let's say, okay? Maybe you gave a prayer request out loud, or maybe you just saw 2 or 3 people and shared. How frequently has it happened that not one of them ever asked you about it again? You unburdened yourself, you shared, you asked them to pray with you, and they never came to you and asked, how are things going with thus and such? How's that make you feel? It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. And so our missionaries, they write these letters, they put in it the burdens they have. And how many, some missionaries send out 500, 600. I've known missionaries send out 800, 900 letters. And, they hear from 3 people maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Not good. Do you see how we can make such an impact in what seems like a little thing by emailing them or writing. You say, I don't do email. Okay, take a piece of paper and a pen and write a letter to them. Take it down to the post office. They'll be able to tell you how much it costs to send that letter to Uganda. Now, if we hear from a missionary to Uganda in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to think this is prophetic. Not just illustrative. But you send them a letter. You know, that might even be more exciting than emails, because that's so much more commonplace now. And to actually receive a postal mail, you got the idea. So refreshing support, encircling support, and then how about this one? Long-term housing support. Now, not everybody can do all of these, by the way, okay? And I'm not inferring that you should take a copy of this list and attempt to do every one on them. I'm sharing them simply so you can see that there is so much more than financial support that can be important to missionaries. And here's one that many would be limited in: long-term housing support. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 14 and verse 28. And there abode long time, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. Missionary comes home. If they're on the typical furlough, it's 6 months to a year at the longest anymore. Used to be a missionary only came home every 4 or 5 years. And sometimes I remember when it was 5 or 6 years. And when they would come home, they would just be here for a year. And they'd go around to all their churches, and it drove them, you know, it really just wore them out. I'm going to share a thought regarding support on that here. Help me remember what I'm going to talk about. Support, okay, and wearing them out. And so they would come home, and they'd find housing. Sometime their boards would have housing for missionaries on furlough. Other times a church would have a, like I know over in Shingle House, at one point we had a mobile home. And that's where we put missionaries and evangelists and so on, since we didn't have even a Motel 6 in Shingle House. And so we'd do that. It was sort of like Black Creek, where there's no Marriott just down the road here. And so we'd have prophet's chamber. But that's short term. You know, now we may be able to help them by saying, you've got 2 weeks before your next meeting. Hey, well, look, you're welcome to stay and use the facilities if that's any help to you. And some will take you up on it, and others will feel they want to seek other arrangements. But long-term housing support, now we're looking at somebody who's coming home, and for whatever circumstances, they've got to be here for 2, maybe 3 years. And the average prophet's chamber isn't suitable for that kind of long-term housing. And so in this case, I've known of ministries that, remember one that heard of down south somewhere, and I knew where at the time, but don't remember it. And my memory isn't here, but she wouldn't have known about it either. But they had a half dozen cottages, we'll call them. And they, people could get long-term. They could get just a year when they were on furlough, but they could get long-term housing support. Sometimes people, I've known individual or known of individuals who their house, it had like a mother-in-law apartment. And mother-in-law went to be with the Lord. And so now here they have this place. And so they would be able to give long-term, what, you know, a whole year, to 2 years or whatever the need was, long-term housing support. Now, not everybody can do that, but you can see where that'd be support. Good night. That'd be as valuable as $100 a month. Okay, support, more than that. And so it's tremendous. Now, what did I ask you to help me remember? Oh, yeah. What?
I was going to say support and wearing them out.
Support and wearing them out, yeah. When a missionary is, there's different terms. Deputation is the term that's used when a missionary goes from one church to another to raise their financial support. Now, they need other support. They need prayer support. They need people just conscious of their ministry. But they need financial support. Okay? And so that's deputation. Then when a missionary is on a field and he comes home, whether it's every 3-4 years, a lot are coming home every 2 years, and they only stay for 6 months. That way they're not gone from their ministry and find it to become devastated, as in some situations happens. And so in that case, they are on furlough when they're coming home to give a report on the ministry, just like Paul. Okay, we read in our passage here where Paul went back around to the churches to confirm them. And so they come back and they report. And now, we would always at that missionary training school advise people, a missionary, to take a map and of their state, for example, and draw a circle 50, 75 miles from where they live around, big circle around it, and do everything you can to saturate that area with your ministry and seeking churches that you're compatible with for support. It would be unusual if a missionary could raise his support within 75 miles fully, okay? So then what you need to do is you take another circle and you draw it, let's say, 150 miles around. Now you work that area, and it is work. Deputation is like a full-time job. I remember a fellow who got to the field in a year and a half. That is unheard of today. It usually takes 3 to 4 years to raise support. But he was able to do it in a year and a half because he spent 8 hours a day at his desk making telephone calls, mapping the area, calling back, communicating with letters, and sending his packet out of information. 8 hours a day. 5 or 6 days a week is what he had to do. Now, the missionary who spends a couple hours making some calls, and you know, when we say making calls, what the missionary does is he makes calls, and he might get a secretary. If it's a smaller church, there is no secretary. He might get hold of the pastor. He might get the pastor's wife, who often does serve as a secretary. But nevertheless, well, no, pastor's not in right now. Well, is there a particular time when I could call back that I might be able to speak to him? Well, what is it you're wanting? Well, now, when the person answering the phone has to say, what is it you're wanting, the guy didn't start out right to begin with. Because you have to start out by identifying yourself. And you have about 20 seconds when you're on the telephone, and if you're fortunate enough to actually speak to the pastor, you've got about 15 seconds to be able to get his attention and his interest to listen to you more. Because there are so many missionaries that are out there contacting churches that a pastor just can't take every one of them. And depending on the location, like we're located near an interstate, that makes us even more accessible. And now when you were on Coon Crossing Road out of Shingle House, okay, but they'd find us anyway. And so, a missionary, now you say, and then, okay, here's a problem. Missionary does these two circles. Oh boy, I'm gonna call my college and I'm gonna get a list of graduates. And those graduates, oh wow, I'm in Pennsylvania. Well, let's put us in New York where we are. I'm in New York and some of them are in Southeast Pennsylvania and then Maryland. Oh, and there's one in Wyoming. And then also in Michigan, there's two. And so, dear missionary has to call them. And if one guy in Michigan says, yeah, I'll be glad to have you come. When can you come? Now, he says, I can come on July 10th. on July 7th, the missionary's in Pennsylvania. And now he's got to be, in 3 days, he's got to be in Michigan. And then the next contact that he had, he says, yeah, I'm in South Carolina. I'll be glad to have you come down. You get the picture? Pennsylvania, Michigan, South Carolina. Not a good use of time. You've heard me explain already, there may seem to be times when we're just backed up with missionaries. Well, you may think to yourself, well, Pastor, can't you schedule these out a little different? Yeah, if we want to make a fella who's going to be 50 miles from here, okay, on a Wednesday, and he could be with us on Sunday, he's just 50 miles away. If we want to make him drive 300 miles on the date we want him, in order to get to us. You know, well, missionaries ought to be a little more diligent. Yeah, well, so ought to churches be a little more diligent. And, you know, we're in this together. We need to work together. And so there will be times where it'll seem like we're just backed up with missionaries. I always felt it's important for us to put ourselves out rather than expect that missionary to drive all over the place. I've heard missionaries say, boy, I'll be glad to go back to the field. I am so worn out. And when they have travels such as I've described, you can understand why that might be the case. I'm talking about missionary. Let's put a wife into that mix. She's got to do all that traveling too. Let's put two or three kids into that car as well. And every time, you know, every night, they're going to be at a different place. One of the ministries that I was in charge of with Good Shepherd Baptist Mission was it was called emergency housing. When a missionary was traveling from point A to point B, they left point A and went on a Sunday night. They were going to point B on a Wednesday, but Monday and Tuesday, they had no place to stay. When they would call Good Shepherd Baptist Mission and they would say, I need housing in Cleveland for Monday evening. Now, they identified Cleveland. We would look within 50 miles of Cleveland, okay? Because he's going west from Cleveland. And so we would endeavor to find a place. And now, that particular ministry became less and less used because the men had either tablets, even laptops, definitely cell phones. And now they would be able to go online, and there are a number of websites that list churches. And so the way we found churches in Cleveland, we'd look for independent Baptist churches in the Cleveland area. We'd call them and say, we got a missionary looking for a prophet's chamber on Monday night. Now, I'm calling them in Monday morning, okay? They're looking for a place for tonight. And they say, well, we don't have one. And then you don't hang up. You ask them, do you know somebody in your area that has one? Yeah, we got a fella about 5 miles down the road. He's got a prophet's chamber. Well, obviously, the next thing, could you give me his name and phone number? And then guess what my next call was to that church? And many a time, it brought a prophet's chamber where the missionary could stay in. I've known missionaries that have spent with their family nights in a car because they had no place to stay. Not only is that becoming more and more not safe, it's a disgrace, but it took networking churches to be able to meet that kind of need. There are websites where you can list that you have a prophet's chamber. Now, many churches won't do that, and I understand why not. They can get get overrun, okay, with requests for their prophet's chamber because the need is so great. Okay, so there you go. Now, we gave you refreshing support, encircling support, long-term housing support, and something else regarding missions, okay, that hopefully gives you a little understanding and insight to the missionary and the life of the missionary, but from the perspective of what we can do to help meet that. Oh, God puts it on your heart for this guy in Uganda. You don't know why. Okay? You don't understand why. You hear he's coming home, but you don't understand why. And then God puts it on your heart to send him a love offering. So you've been saving money. You know, you don't have to spend every dollar you get as soon as you get it. And so you've been saving some of this money you've been putting aside. And what you're going to do, now you've amassed $60. And this guy's coming home from Uganda, and God puts it on your heart to help him. So you send it to his board. If he doesn't have a board, if he just goes through his local church, you send it to the local church. And, you know, Brother Smith, I don't know why it is, but God put it on my heart to send this to you. And then a month later, you get a note. Remember, Tim, how you sent us $60? We had a night when we had no place to stay. Because of your $60, we were able to get a motel room. Then you'll know how God orchestrated things. But you see what's needed? Us to do what we can to set aside so the Lord can lead us. And then when the Spirit prompts us to respond and to actually do it. Friends, this whole thing of missions is exciting. And it's an investment in eternity. These missionaries work with people that otherwise wouldn't hear the gospel. But because of us, they can. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the time we could spend together trying to understand the role of missions.